Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And we are fresh off the worldwide release of Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And in Australia, of course, we got it because of the international dateline and the weirdness of our release schedule. We got it about 36 hours before America, so I'd already seen it twice by the time. And I have to say, I loved watching this. It was cool to have seen it a couple times and then watch my friends in America on Instagram and Twitter. Just the excitement, like of their photos before going into the cinema and in the cinema waiting for it to start, and then waiting 2 hours for the giant outburst of joy from everyone, or near everyone. But the consensus at the moment seems to be extremely positive, which is great, but also it's what you like, guys. Don't let someone's opinion on the internet detract from your enjoyment of a movie or strawberry ice cream, whatever metaphor you want. If it tastes good to you, great stuff. And speaking of things that are great tasting to me, our co-host for today's call-in show, you would know him from the Blue Harvest Pod and Rogue One, a podcast for wieners. It's my buddy, Hawes Burkhout.
How's it going, buddy?
How are you going?
Pretty good, man. I'm still reeling from that movie last night a little bit. It was a lot to take in.
How do you mean by reeling?
It was just your typical release date sort of stress trying to coordinate. We had a fairly large group going, and we got there early, and we're trying to save seats, and you know, and then making sure everybody was in the right theater, and then trying to take the movie in. And I don't know about you, but like, somebody asked me today how I would describe the movie, and the only word I could come up with was dense. Like, there is a lot going on in this movie, I felt like.
I'm always shocked that America doesn't have allocated seating in all its cinemas.
I get so jealous when I hear or see my friends on Twitter and stuff being like, I don't have to wait in line, I've got reserved seating. We don't have that anywhere around me.
Yeah, that is so weird, but there's nothing wrong with waiting in line. I know at the Steel Wars premiere, what we did was Star Walking Inc., the Australian Star Wars fan club. People were there. Our premiere was at midnight, and there was people there at like 8:30, just hanging around. There was a bar next door where we did the podcast afterwards. Yeah, the lingering beforehand is so fun. And I should point out, if you're a new listener, this is the call-in show format of the podcast. Normally, we our classic episodes interview based, but then we also do live shows. And up on the feed, at the top of the feed right now, is our Rogue One 2:30 a.m. live reaction. So it's a bunch of Melbourne comedians reacting to the podcast, and it wrapped up at about 4:10 in the morning. It is pretty funny. People are getting some really strong feedback for it, and there's some people have a shot at the movie, but that's fine. People can take a joke. I had one guy message me saying he wasn't ready to let people make fun of the film yet, and I guess that's your choice, but jokes are jokes, Hawes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just because you make a few jokes and try to get some laughs about it doesn't mean you didn't like it or think it's a bad movie. Like, look, I love Star Wars more than anything, but you can also have a sense of humor about it. You know what I mean? Like, lighten up a little bit.
And there's the classic comedy roast saying, which is, we only roast the ones we love. And
exactly.
Man, do I love Star Wars. Man, do I love Star Wars. And I love Princess Leia's increasingly giant head. I love it all.
I guess they got Funko to do the special effects on that Princess Leia at the end, huh?
True that. But the, you know, what a breakthrough that facial reconstruction business is. I've heard from people that are not as engrossed in Star Wars as ourselves that they didn't even realize that Tarkin wasn't there, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's a testament. Also, much dimmer lighting on that Death Star set. I think that helps. You know, the believability of the Tarkin reconstruction more so than maybe the Leia one, because it's really bright on that blockade runner as opposed to sort of the dimly lit evil layer that the Death Star is.
Mm. The other thing that's harder on Leia compared to Tarkin for me growing up, I never wanted to make out with Grand Moff Tarkin.
Well, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Maybe when I saw the Leia one, I was just like, oh, that's a bit different to the super hot girl that I was in love with for many years. But whatever. I have to say, I'm not sure what the reactions were like in your cinema, but at the at our one, when Tarkin turned around, 500 fans as one pretty much gasped. They
Yeah. Yeah, it was very similar in mine. You could almost hear or feel the air getting sucked out of the room because of everybody gasping when he turned around.
Yeah, totally. And then, which I love these little cool things, at the end of that scene, the initial Tarkin scene, the audience just gave it a round of applause, which was really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, last year for The Force Awakens, I felt like the audience was more vocal and participatory when the big stuff happened, like, you know, Han and Leia and those, the Falcon, especially when we saw the Falcon for the first time again. I think the only time they really whooped it up on this one was the end scene with Vader, and then the end credits got a really nice applause.
Yeah, I never get to see the end credits on the first night because as soon as they come up, I run to the bar next door and make sure everything's set up for the live podcast. So I remember last year, The Force Awakens, when the credits came up, I remember just taking 3 seconds to, in my head, curse to myself and go, they didn't let him talk. And then I had to sprint. And I remember that's when I got back to the same cinema. When I saw the stairs, I had this flashback of running down the stairs and just saying to myself, he didn't talk. Like, it was just total shock. If you want to call in, guys, the number is 646-668-8360. If you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio, you can probably see that number above you. If you are international, you just have to add a +1 to the start of that number, and you can Skype in and use Skype's wonderful technology. But how about, we've got a couple of people on hold. I might go to, actually, no, we'll do the calls first. They've been good enough to call in. So let's go to 405. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Aaron from Oklahoma City.
Oh, hey, buddy, Aaron. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
We're just talking some wars. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, first of all, let me say that both of the reaction shows, I've listened to them both, and they are great. Pause on your end and Steel, yours. George Lucas was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and we had George Lucas on our show. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was great to see what he thought. I was disappointed that he didn't like it. but yeah, so where where to begin. I'm not even sure. I am still processing everything, and I am waiting to get that second viewing in to kind of, because I'm still in. Shit, I just saw a new Star Wars movie mode. Sorry, Steel. You can edit that out if you want. Hawes, edit that out. I'm disappointed with the lack of Mendo. There was a lot of Mendo, but I just wanted 2 hours and 13 minutes of immeasurable power, which was not in the movie. And yeah, the chase in the water, not in the movie.
Yeah, there was, like, yeah, that is one of the big talking points coming out of the film was, is there going to be like 2 hours and 15 minutes of deleted scenes from this film? There is so many now classic trailer and teaser moments that are totally gone. There's all, Mendo's classic immeasurable line. There is the TIE fighter coming up. There is the running in front of the ACTs. There's the walk through the water. There's the run through the train station. That wasn't even in there.
I totally forgot about that.
So everyone was at Star Wars Celebration went to that train station in London to reenact the running. Sorry, dog, not in the movie.
They get to reenact that deleted scene. I did just think of something, and then it's already gone. Oh yes, in the safe haven I just saw today. I can't remember who posted it, but somebody the running on the beach, Jen running on the beach with the tape, the data tapes. Apparently, the ending changed quite a bit. I would imagine because in the ending we all just saw, they couldn't even make it out. So I imagine that the ending changed quite a bit.
Oh, well, that is really confirmed, John. I mean, they did a lot of work on that ending. And I think if you look at the deleted scenes or the deleted clips, you can see that the story, went quite, quite different. Another storyline that is totally missing from the movie is, remember in one of the teasers or trailers, there was captured X-Wing pilots on Jeddah.
That's also right. In the top Star Wars card trader. I think there's a card maybe of some captured X-Wing pilots. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but yes, I do remember that, because in one trailer they had blood on them, and then the other trailer they did not have as much blood on them. I remember that being a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that crashed X-Wing on the set in the background when Chirrut's battling, but it's like, I guess
just
now...
there.
It's just there.
Yeah, it just kind of shows up.
I saw a picture of that well before I should have, and I was just like, I was really like, I can't wait to find out how that X-Wing crashes. And, well, that's what I get for getting things sent to me before I should. I just saw on Twitter, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is projected for $140 million opening weekend in America.
They were projecting 150? Isn't that what it was, 150? I can't recall. Maybe I'm making that number up.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I don't follow the box office too much, but it just did pop up on my Twitter feed, so I thought I'd break some news, guys.
Breaking news.
Aaron, what was your highlight?
Oh, man. It's very hard, but holy crap, space battles.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And, I mean, but then I remember that Vader ignited the red and really wrecked some dudes. So, oh, man, it's really hard. And one thing that I have to say, just while I'm thinking about it, I was a little bummed with the way Mendo was taken out by Cassian's shot, but him looking up and seeing what he'd worked so hard on, it was just beautiful, I thought. Looking up and seeing that fire, seeing it fire on the ground, I just thought it was a very beautiful moment. I read Catalyst, and I thought it added so much to this movie, having seen that. And seeing the just the look on Krennic's face and knowing so much backstory from Catalyst, I think that at least the elements that were in Catalyst were executed perfectly in Rogue One. We got to see their ending perfectly, I think.
So, Aaron, you would... I have not finished Catalyst, and to be honest, I'm only a few chapters in. I've got content commitments to keep up. Would you say that was like a quite a worthwhile sort of investment of time before seeing the film?
Absolutely. I think it's... I haven't done a lot of Star Wars reading, but I think it's the most essential Star Wars reading as far as how it relates directly to a film. I think it's the best, some of the best out there for sure.
I completely
and I definitely agree. Definitely recommend it for people who have not read it yet. I'm so glad I read it before I went in to see the movie.
Very cool. I must say, I've seen the movie twice, and the second time, not that I didn't enjoy the first time, I loved it, but the second time, it might be also because I didn't have the pressure of organizing all these events before and after the movie, but I did, like, it went a lot faster and flowed a lot better, and I really enjoyed it a lot more the second time. Again, that might be because I was had a lot of tension from organizing events. But I do remember when the first screening, when Vader did turn on the lightsaber, in my head it just popped up hashtag ignite the red. I was hashtag. Hey, Aaron, we've got a ton of callers coming in. We're going to be doing call-in shows all through the week with an assortment of awesome guests. So I will put you back on hold, but thanks so much for calling in, man.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, Haas, Steele, you guys, buddy. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's go to 732. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm from Connecticut.
Hey, Michael from Connecticut. What's going on, man?
Not much. Big fan of Steel Wars, Blue Harvest, and Rogue One.
Nice.
Podcast for wieners. And my question is for Hawes.
Okay.
I'm actually nervous. What's it like working with Johnny Grasso? Like, and I guess, Steel, you can answer this too because you did Megapod. Like, what's he really like?
Johnny.
Is he really?
Buddy, we know it's you, man.
I'll put him back on hold as punishment. 408, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Paul. I'm from San Jose, California. How you guys doing?
Hey, Paul from San Jose. We're awesome. What's on your mind on this Rogue One post week?
Well, I was especially happy to hear you guys' reactions, especially Steele. You were nice enough to do my podcast at LA Podfest, so that was cool.
I didn't realize it was this cool. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Happy to see another Star Wars movie. Most of the cameos I really enjoyed, except for Ponda Baba and Cornelius.
Yeah, that one kind of, I won't say it bothered me, but it's the one that I felt was the most out of place. If you know what I mean. Like, and once again, Ponda Baba's head was huge, right, in comparison?
Yeah.
Like, something about the makeup effect just made him look like he had a giant head this time.
Well, I'm just wondering, I know nobody in Star Wars likes to hear the odds, but what are the odds of the same guy bumping into the woman who steals the Death Star plans, and then, like, what, a couple weeks later, he, you know, bumps into the guy who ends up destroying the Death Star?
I think, Hawes, that a lot of the cameos were great. I enjoyed C-3PO and R2-D2 getting a mid-film cameo rather than an end-of-the-film cameo.
Really?
I was worried that the end of this film was going to get a bit Revenge of the Sithy with, we've got to link this all up really quick, you know.
Like, right.
You know, Revenge of the Sith sort of, I think in the last 5 minutes, suffers a bit of a, quick, let's make all the connections now, go!
Right.
You go here, I'll go there. So I liked the mid-film little surprise of seeing R2-D2 and C-3PO. The Ponda Baba
and Dr. Everson, that is the bad side of fan service, I think. I think Paul's got a great point that these guys are really in the heart of all these major events for the Rebellion, and they don't even know it. It just added nothing.
Yeah. Besides, the only thing it added was people going, "Oh, it's like those guys from A New Hope or whatever." And I don't know. Every other one seemed pretty cool to me. The ones that I thought were the most interesting, you know, not necessarily major characters, were Gold Leader and Red Leader, because I'm pretty sure they just took that footage straight from A New Hope and reused it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Assumption, because he you know, this is how many times I've seen the bloody film. When he goes to adjust something, and I recognized him adjusting it. Like,
yes.
it was in
yes.
my memory. But brilliant. So
yes. Perfect.
Good. For some weird reason, that may have given me one of the biggest thrills of the film. I was definitely, as I talked about in the call, I mean, on the reaction show, when the Blue Squadron went in, I was just like, oh.
Rip Blue Squadron.
They're in a bit of trouble. Of course, they were meant to be on Yavin, but in real world life of Star Wars, they couldn't make the blue X-Wings, like it affected the blue screen effect, so they went with red
right.
instead of blue. Yeah, the pilot cameos were awesome. I think, like, we have to be, as a fan base, critical when it deserves it. And I actually think, for the future of Star Wars, the way they jump about timeline, should be critical of the above cameo, because that's what we need none of going into the future. Like, goofy, like, Easter egg cameos that don't amount to anything, like, to the film. And also, integrity of the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline stuff is what sort of gets under my skin more so than just the cameo for the sake of a cameo, because at the end of the day, that doesn't really bother me. But the fact that they were there on Jedha and just a few days later on Tatooine, it's just too interconnected. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And it just doesn't really fit well for me, if you know what I mean.
Any other thoughts, Paul?
I want to say that the CGI recreations of Tarkin and Leia, I think if it was the first time we've seen this technology, I might have been a little bit more like, this doesn't look real. But because we've seen it done so poorly before, I was just more impressed on how all in they went on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will make fun of giant-headed Leia and her... like mile-wide cheeks, but it was amazing. Tarkin, I was blown away by. Leia was a little bit, you know, a little bit weird, but an amazing achievement and very gutsy, especially for the Tarkin thing, to plan your film. Like, he was a major character in the film.
No, it wasn't just a cameo. I think he had as much screen time as Krennic, probably.
Did he have more screen time in this or the original Star Wars?
I think maybe this. To be completely honest.
No.
You don't think so?
No, he was in a lot of scenes. And Krennic definitely was in more scenes than Tarkin, because pretty much all Tarkin scenes were with Krennic. So then,
yeah, that's true.
What was your highlight?
My highlight for me, of course, is the last scene with Vader, I think, is just, how do you even compare that to anything?
It was something. Hey, Paul, it was great to talk to you. Tell everyone what your podcast is and where they can find it.
Oh, it's the Screen Watchers Guild. It's a podcast about movies, thescreenwatchersguild.com.
And what episode am I on, if you happen to remember that you maybe don't?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. If you go on the website, you could just select the interviews tab, and then you'll be on there.
We had an awesome chat about Star Wars, so if you need some extra listen, check that out. All right, thanks for the show, man. Awesome.
For super sweet Star Wars tribute t-shirts that will turn heads and get laughs wherever you wear them, hit the SteelWars.com merch store. We have got fresh from the screen printers, because these bad boys are screen printed, not digitally applied, so they will last you for years to come. The new Mendo t-shirt in honor of director Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn. It displays Mendo's sweet white cape and immeasurable power. Along with that, we have got the now classic Your Snoke Theory Sucks t-shirt and stickers, as well as Luke Skywalker Have You Seen Him t-shirt and stickers, Wear Home t-shirts, and the wrestling referenced Lucas 1138. Plus, over the next couple of weeks, I'll be putting up some very rare one-off or two-off items on the merch store. So please go click SteelWars.com. And as an extra bonus this month, when you hit buy it now, you will get an immediate download of Jason Ward and my new supporter exclusive show, Making Steel Wars, one of the most insightful hour pluses of Star Wars chat you'll find on the internet. There, I said it. All SteelWorlds tees are printed on the highest quality AAA all-style apparel tube cut blanks, meaning you will enjoy these tees for conventions and movie premieres to come. SteelWars.com.
All right, we have got a ton of calls, so let's lay in to 714. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's me. What's up?
Oh, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? It's my two bros. My two fucking tutus bros. It's Sal from the Rogue Rebels.
I should just point out, Johnny Grasso's on hold. I'm just going to save him till the end.
Yeah.
And
do what you got to do.
And possibly edit out his call, because what a goose.
he did tell me that he really does have a question, though.
I just wanted to ask you guys real quick, like, what do you, like, how you feeling that space battle, bro?
I think, personally, it's up there for me. Like, last night after the movie, I was telling my friends that went with me, like, I think it may be my favorite space battle in the Star Wars yet. I need to see it again to decide for sure, but man, that scene where they caused the Imperial fender bender with the Hammerhead cruiser, awesome. And then the scene where they're all trying to escape and Darth Vader's Star Destroyer warps in and starts wrecking
Devastator
house.
Vader just like puts a stop to it.
Woo!
Yeah, Darth Vader is like the ultimate reinforcement, dude.
I found that the Star Destroyer hyperspacing in so weird, because we've seen that happen in Rebels so many times, and it was just like, oh my god, there's a inverted commas real life version.
Yeah,
right? Like,
and same shot too.
Yeah, it was so cool to see it, you know, ILM style. Those Hammerhead Corvettes, like, it's so, you know, full credit. It's very cool that they were set up in Star Wars Rebels.
Yes, really cool.
Did you guys get any of the Rebels references, like, besides those ships? Did you guys see the ghost and all that kind of stuff?
I was going to ask you, Sal, like, how did you feel about all that, being such a big Rebels guy? Like, also, am I crazy? I swear I saw Chopper.
Chopper's in it, dude.
He is, so I'm not crazy.
I didn't catch him. I've been looking for him. I've seen it twice. I still didn't see Chopper, but I heard him. Like, on the shot where I was, like, looking for him, I didn't find him. But then I heard, like, I heard wah, 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 and I was like, fuck, son of a bitch. Like, he's in that shot. Like, but the shot, you know, I missed it.
It's towards the end when they send the transmission to the Rebel base, and Mon Moth, the radio operator goes to tell Mon Moth about it. He's, like, over to the left hand of the screen, and he's, like, rolling, and he goes off screen.
All right.
Have you just read that whole?
No, I saw it last night, and I said something to my fiance, Jesse, because she's a big Rebels fan. She watches Rebels with me every weekend. And I was like, I swear I just saw Chopper, and she didn't see it. And nobody else I went with saw it. And then, so I thought I was crazy. Like, I thought maybe I was just seeing things.
Chopper's there. Did you guys hear the, like, General Syndulla report to blah, 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 blah?
Yes.
You guys catch that one? That one was pretty cool.
I didn't, but I read, like, I sort of read so the next time I'd know. I saw the ghost, and that was on the second viewing. The first viewing, I don't know how any of you guys saw stuff like that on the first viewing, but I had to really concentrate to see, because there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so you've got the Syndulla thing, that's just towards the end of the meeting, is that right?
It's basically like when she walks out and she's like, well, the council sucks. Like,
yeah, right before like, they leave for Scarif.
Yeah, yeah.
I
thought it was somewhere else. So I wasn't looking for it there. Like, they were like, oh, there's a call out. And I thought it was going to be in the battle somewhere where everybody's like, you know, blue three going in. I thought it was going to be later, but it's right there. And it's like loud as there's no interruptions, no space battling going on. So I was like, oh, there it is.
I think the reason I didn't see Chopper was I found that scene where he runs out and they sort of go, don't talk to her. Sort of weird. Some reason. I was just like, it just seemed they were way too defensive of her. Like, all of a sudden they turn into Justin Bieber's security force or something like that. But next time I'll have to ignore that weirdness, see a bit of chop chop. What about this, Sal? We've got this cartoon that they've been making and planning for years now, and it's so cool we got all these. I appreciate that there was references, but they weren't too, I think I'm going to create a new term. They weren't too ponderbarbed. They were nice and light. So there you go. I've coined that, Star Wars fandom. Thank me.
Yeah.
If you want to whack a hashtag
that, everybody.
Ponderbarbed.
I'll use it in a sentence real quick. Johnny's on hold waiting to ponderbobbin his way into this podcast.
Excellent use of the phrase. Thank you. We just had the mid-season finale of Rebels, and instead of where I think a lot of us thought it was going to go lead up to Rogue One, instead we're still dwelling on things from The Phantom Menace. We're about to maybe revisit,
right,
you know, that. Like, how do you feel about that?
I agree that, like, it would have been really badass to, like, if the things would have coincided perfectly. But I also feel that, like, I mean, what's to say season 4 or season 5, like, we don't get there. You know what I mean? Like, we're only, like, 2 years out from this, approximately 2 years out. The last, you know, like, we're still kind of dealing with Thrawn. But who's to say, like, the next season they don't find their way off of Chopper Base, or maybe they still have Chopper Base and they're, like, you know, they've already mentioned Dodona and the Y-Wings. You know, I think it's going to be really awesome, you know, if and when we do get the crossover a year out or so. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I wish it would have been, like, right now, because that would have been cool. But I also think, like, you know, I kind of agree with, like, the Filoni thing where he's like, dude, I don't want to take anybody's fire out of their hat. Like, how, you know, we would have went into the season, mid-season finale, and seeing this, like, giant space battle, and then we go to see a movie, and, like, the last third of the movie, we're like, oh, yeah, we know what happened. You know what I mean? Like, so I do kind of get that, too.
I just thought it would have been amazing if they had of at least gotten to Yavin. Not, I don't want to see the battle on Rebels.
Right, right.
But, you know, I'm not sure if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does this, but I think it tried to do it once. But, like, you sort of get, you know, it's like the story goes up to Rogue One, then you've got the mid-season break, and then afterwards it's the aftermath of Rogue One. You know, that takes a lot of discipline and coordination, but it would have been pretty amazing. And that said, I love the references. I thought they were very, kind of for me, the maximum I wanted it to be intertwined, because...
Right.
Like the real heavy-handed ponderbarbed references, like, just for the sake of it, it's sort of like, look, guys, look. So I appreciate you.
He said the same thing. Remember when he said that?
So I must say, Dave Filoni must have been just in shock at the end of Rogue One, that it's just like, oh, my God, they killed characters.
Right?
Yeah,
not,
man.
Not just a couple.
I want to see what happens, because I have a... I think we could still see this. you know, I'm with you, Steele. I wish it would have happened like right now, you know, and everything was like lined up. But I still think there's a strong possibility, the future of Rebels, that we get nice, like we get to see the other side. We get to see the lead up to this from their side, and we get to see possibly, like, you know, the same space battle, but starring Hera, General Syndulla, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I think they have to do it. Now that you've laid it out that, you know, she makes it to Yavin, the storyline has to go to her meeting up with, you know, going to Yavin. Whether they what they show from Rogue One or whatever. Like, I kind of think they have to, which, what, that this poses the other question, what's happening with Kanan and Ezra by then?
Yeah. Well, something that I think is pretty interesting, I saw Charlie from the Star Wars Podcast Alliance post something today that was pretty interesting. And I believe it's from one of the source books, and it's got like a timeline of the big events in Saw Gerrera's life. And it says 2 years before Rogue One, he leads a mission to investigate Geonosis. The next episode of Rebels is called Ghost of Geonosis.
See, that already is like making the hairs stand up on my arms.
I have to admit, I got pretty excited. I might have some light goosebumps off that. That's pretty sweet. If that goes down with Geonosis with Saw Gerrera, then I tip my hat to the godlike entity that is the Star Wars story group.
And one other thing, dude, like if that's on a timeline somewhere, it can't be that far out. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and I mean, in Rebels currently, we're about 2 years from Rogue One, right?
About 2 years, dude. Yep.
It seems like it lines up, and when you put that with the title of the next episode, like, I don't know. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much because I don't want to be disappointed, but sounds like it could be pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll ponder bobbing my way out of here. Let you get to another caller.
Sal's got the death sentence on 12 podcasts.
I will if I keep talking.
I'm pretty sure I've got the death sentence on at least one.
Oh yeah, you're on fire this week, brother. Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Sal. Right. And I'm glad you had an awesome time at the premiere. We're going to talk about the premiere, so I'll have to get you on a call-in show and we'll chat.
Yeah, for sure, dude. You know where to get at me.
I sure do. Thank you, Sal Perales from the Rogue Rebels, and you can hear him weekly on Making Star Wars' Now This Is Podcasting. And they just put up a 2.5-hour round table reaction on the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, so check that out. Here's the deal. There's about 4 minutes to go, and we've got about 3 people left in hold. Stay on hold because we will take your calls and it will go into the supporter bonus show. That is for a little couple of bucks a month. You can listen to all the bonus features. And one that's getting a lot of talk at the moment is a new show that I'm doing on the supporter page called Making Steel Wars. And that is with Jason Ward from MakingStarWars.net. And the first episode, we go very deep into the behind-the-scenes politics and strategy of doing a Star Wars site that goes behind the scenes. And people found it. Oh, you've heard that one, Horse?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to, we've got a Skype call. If you are on Skype, this could well be you.
This is me, Skype Darren Luchner.
Hello. Darren Luchner from Melbourne, Australia.
Absolutely. Firstly, it was a brilliant night the other night. The premiere was great. The discussion, as probably people can tell from the podcast, the reaction podcast, is a little bit different than what we're having today from that one. So it's good to be able to have a different type of discussion. They're both very good. But question for you guys. So The Force Awakens and Rogue One, is this a theme? The ending is a little bit of a theme? Looking at a main character and ending there, obviously this one Leia talked, but do you think that's a bit of a theme coming up with the endings of films now?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, we got a couple seconds of Luke at the end of The Force Awakens, and then a little bit of Leia at the end?
I think, like, the end of the TFA fitted in with the traditional Star Wars saga trope of no one talks for the last 2 minutes of the film, and it ends with a grand shot, which was the slightly un-Star Wars helicopter shot. I think you might have your tinfoil hat on a little bit there, Darren.
Well, I must. Maybe there's a theme here, because I'm having a little disagreement with you guys for this one. I was not overly thrilled with the Tarkin bit either. So for the first time, I think I'm getting a little bit of a disagreement with people around here. The movie was great. Don't get me wrong, but I think that just, and I posted that on the Steel Wars Safe Haven, but I found that was a bit grating for me.
I'm just going to put you on hold for 2 seconds, Darren. We'll get you in the bonus section. We'll continue this discussion about Tarkin. Hawes, you can be heard on the Blue Harvest Pod and Rogue One, a podcast for winners. Thank you so much for co-hosting, and we will go into the supporter section, man.
Well, thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to keep having you. We've just got to hear some theme music. We are in the bonus section for supporters. We've got Darren back on the line, and you are thumbs down to Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, I just, when I saw him.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.